Busy weekend of action once again in the Clare Senior Football Championship. The shape of the groups should become that little bit clearer after the second round. Joe Gary with me to look ahead to it. We'll start in Group 1. Joe, we'll start with Clamoria Brechin and Curra Finn. Two sides in varying needs of the points here at either ends of the table.
Definitely, you know, but I think the Curra Finn's need is obviously the greater. Having lost that opener to St. Joseph's Stuart Barefield, they would have gone into that very much on a 50-50 basis. Maybe Curra Finn slightly favourites given what they did last year, but in fairness to Barefield, worthy winners on the evening, and now it gives the Curra Finn boys all to do because they're coming in against the Kilmurry Brechin side, obviously with 2 points on the board, courtesy of that fine victory over St. Brechin's in round one, and James is a little bit of leeway now. Remember, of course, there's three coming out of this group as well, so it's all to do now for Curra Finn.
Yeah, is that pressure though something maybe that they'll be using to respond? I mean, they've had a very positive couple of years, obviously, Curra Finn, between their intermediate win and getting to a semi-final last year, but with season on the line now, you'd imagine that's extra motivation.
Yes, you know, you're playing for your championship lives now because, you know, what you don't want to end up is in a relegation battle. You know, anyone with the teams, any teams could end up in relegation if you don't deliver. But if you lose two games, you're opening two rounds of the championship, well, then you really can't have any complaint if you do end up there. So, you know, they'll have to respond. They're capable of doing so. We know they can pull out big games, but they'll need all their know-how now this weekend to take down Kilmurry or Brechin side. James will be delighted with his, James Murray will be delighted with his first round victory, gelling the younger players in Kilmurry, you know, to the more experienced heads, and you know, they're where they want to be now after round one.
And I guess as well they'll want to take out any possibility of teams ending up on points or anything like that to come around, because even though there is the three out, there's still a possibility of some teams being levelled. So Kilmurry, I'd imagine, will want to put this to bed ahead of the final round and just absolutely be sure of it.
Yeah, well, Kilmurry will fancy their chances against Curra Finn. You know, they would traditionally have done so, but I think James Murray will be more looking at a further improvement, because the performance the last day out won't win Kilmurry a championship. It doesn't have to at this stage of the championship, but he'll be, you know, building round on round to make sure that when it comes to the business and the things, Kilmurry will definitely be there. So it's a matter of making sure that he has all his ducks in a row, he has everyone going well. Obviously, he has a few injuries to contend with. Some of them won't have returned. So, you know, he has to gel his unit together to have them in good order for the bigger clashes that will lie ahead.
Yeah, that is a Saturday afternoon game in Lissacacy, Kilmurry Brechin and Curra Finn. The other game in that group then, similar dynamic, I suppose, but maybe with different mindsets on it. St. Joseph's Dura Barefield, if you said at the start of the championship that a quarter-final place was going to be within their own grasp in the second round, they'd have certainly taken their hand off for it. And St. Brechin's no more than their neighbours in Curra Finn, kind of saying that chances for points are really beginning to run out.
Yeah, it's a very similar situation. St. Joseph's Dura Barefield know that they have the win under their belts. They, you know, they can play with a little bit more freedom, whereas St. Brechin's are facing a trapdoor if they don't get a result. They're capable of doing so. You know, they're, as I often said, there's few teams in Clare that carry the goal-scoring potential as St. Brechin's do. But the last time round, you know, John McGann did go off injured. That'll certainly blunt their attack. I don't know whether he'll be back or not this weekend. St. Joseph's Dura Barefield had a fine victory or Curra Finn. Some nice scores, kicks, some excellent young players coming through and beginning to reach their peak. You know, there's plenty of football in these St. Joseph's Dura Barefield lads, and that victory at the last day out will you know, really boost the confidence of the side, and I'd certainly give them a big, big shout this weekend.
Yeah, St. Brechin's, I suppose, they'd be slightly concerned about the way they faded out of the game the last day against Kilmurry. Like, and as you mentioned, with Joe McGann gone, I know you still have the Jamie Stack up front and you'll have Mac and Byrne, and, you know, Sweeney is going to play a major part from in that half back line. But physically, St. Joseph's could be a right match for them.
They will be, yes, and you know, they're a good young side, and remember they had a good run in the Gary Cup, they've got promotion up to the QC Cup, so things are on an upward trajectory there. I know they have to blend, you know, some hurling demands as well, you know, in terms of their unit, but they're handling it so very, very well, and with Tom McDonald, the likes of James Corden around the place, these are all players that are, you know, young lads with plenty of movement, plenty of athleticism and plenty of football to boot as well. So St. Brechin's will be asked big, big questions. This one will go right down to the wire, and I don't think it'll be a shock to anybody if the Barefield boys come out on top.
Yeah, that's the other game in that particular group. Let's move to a doubleheader, if I'm not mistaken, in Group 3. We'll just take them because it's going to be a big day in Coir Chlare for these two particular games. And I suppose the first one, maybe the more attractive perhaps of the two fixtures, maybe and two heavyweights that looked to be coming to form as well. Airogue, absolutely immense the last day against Clondegad. And Milltown, you saw them that night against Dunbeg, really grinding out a victory and some classy moves in it as well. So two teams here that it should be a proper barometer as to where they are.
Definitely, you'll have a huge crowd in Coir Chlare, I think, on Sunday. St. Joseph's, Milltown, Malbear carrying a great deal of momentum into it. And, you know, Airogue will know they're in for a battle. There's no doubt or question about that. Airogue are the standard bearers. They're favourites, I think, in everyone's eyes, you know, to come out, not only to win this weekend, but to go on for another championship campaign. But they're going to be asked big, big questions by St. Joseph's, Milltown. There's a couple of concerns, I suppose, from Milltown's perspective, in that Dunbeg stayed in the game the last day. You know, it took a Keane O'Mahony goal for the Milltown boys to finally get over the line. You know, they had opportunities that they didn't convert. Don't know if Owen Cleary is back in action yet or not. He can, might be too far away at this stage, but they'll have to bring out, they'll have to bring their best performance of the year now if they're to down the champions. The champions did everything that was asked of them in round one. Probably a little bit more comfortable than we would have all anticipated, but that shows the strength of the squad that they have. And Paul Madden will be coming back to Coir Chlare on Saturday or on Sunday, you know, knowing that there's a big, big challenge awaiting him.
And I think it's something as well that kind of irks Airogue a little bit when the narrative is trotted out that when they head west of Lissacacy in particular, that they struggle sometimes in the more compact grounds. And you know, that little bit of steel that it'll take for them to go back and do that. So I think that's going to be something that Madden is going to be challenging his troops with this week.
Yeah, well, I think in fairness they have dealt with that. You know, they've done everything that has to be done. You've won games in West Clare, in Mid Clare, in Cusick Park. They've done it all. So I think, you know, this group of Airogue lads have certainly put that to bed. And, you know, they've settled in now. Niall McMahon has gone in at six there for them, filling in from McGrath. So Aidan McGrath. So, you know, it has been fairly seamless, it has to be said. Dean Rhino, his positioning as a half forward obviously gives them another option as well. And you know, they're motoring fairly nicely at this stage in the championship, because every team will expect improvements, every team will demand improvements. Airogue will certainly be looking to further what they did the last day out against Clonagad, and they will need to, I think, because Milltown will be a big challenge. But you know, in when it comes down to the straight, Airogue have done it time and time again, and I think they will enter the game as slight favourites.
Yeah, but I guess that's a Milltown attack too that's much more potent than it was last year. The narrative seems to be that when they lost Cormac Murray that first game last year against Corrifin after that injury, the spiral started and they just couldn't stop it. Whereas this year now it seems to be a different trajectory. By all accounts, Keane Mahon and himself are a fair two-pronged approach up front. And if you do happen to get Owen back into that, you know, there's plenty of pace and power within this Milltown team, I think, to properly test their work here.
Oh, definitely, you know, 114 will testify, you know, to good scoring. They had very, very few wides. They had no wides at all in the first half, maybe two or three in the second, you know, so they're maximising their scoring opportunities. But you have to balance that with what they're coming up against as well, because the next day out, you're dealing with county players, Manus Doherty, Kieran Russell, you know, playing in county positions. Aaron Fitz, we know what he can do. Jack Collins, you know, Aidan O'Connor has been on the county squad. So they're coming up against a different animal that will ask questions of that attacking unit in a defensive mindset, because those boys will attack at every opportunity. So, you know, it should really be a humdinger. I think you'll have a big, big crowd, as I say, and, you know, this one could very well be the tie of the round.
Yeah, that game gets the doubleheader in the rolling green hills of Carew in suburban Coir Chlare. Gets it underway at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Following that, then a game that's of equal value in terms of that particular group now. Clondegad and Dunbeg, both without points, both needing points. Perhaps this is almost a third place playoff as it is, and both teams badly in need of a response.
And particularly, I suppose, Dunbeg, you know, they know that they're going to be meeting the county champions in round three. That's not an easy task at all. Clonagad as well will be disappointed from not only the result, but the display the last time. But, you know, by all accounts, you know, never got their mojo going at all. And, you know, there's going to be questions asked down in Ballinacallie to see, you know, what this might be like. But They have plenty of leaders. Obviously, the you know one of those is Gary Bent, saying that injury will be available to play if he isn't. You know, a huge setback to kind of get boys. And I think Dunbeg will take plenty of positives. I know they were lost out by 3 points the last day, but they'll take plenty of positives. And I fancy them in this one. I do. I think that they're capable. I was very impressed with Cathal Killeen the last day out. Darragh Burns kicked up a score or two. And, you know, you obviously have the Mercurial, Mr. Tuberty, still around the place. So they're motoring away nicely. They'll be very familiar with the Coir Chlár ground. And in a tight game, it could very well go the way that Dunbeg Magpies.
And particularly in the context of a tight and big defence in particular, and a Clondegad side that really, really struggled for scores the last day out, like, that has to be a major concern for them.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's no doubt or question about it. Their performance the last day out won't be enough this weekend. They'll have to improve considerably, but the potential is there. You know, there's plenty of good footballers in Clondegad, and you know, obviously, you know, they have to balance the hurling demands as well, which is the lot of a number of clubs. But they have been down the road plenty of times, and often when you write off Clondegad, you know, when you don't expect much of them, that's when they deliver their best performance. But they'll have to no question or doubt about it, they'll have to deliver their best performance of the year so far in Coir Chlár on Sunday if they're to, you know, keep themselves in the frame for qualification in out of this group.
Yeah, that's a 4 o'clock start then in Coir Chlár. They're the two games on Sunday. We'll move to the other group, but I think one of the most attractive fixtures of the weekend in Innis Diomhan and Lissy Casey, you know, both on the field and off the field, two very good management teams as well, squaring off. You know, Aidan Maloney obviously gone to Lissy Casey, Bordeaux and Jerquinnan and Beano there with Innis Diomhan, so very good football brains on the line. I think two very, very good squads on the field as well. This has the potential to be a right cracker.
Yes, there's plenty of scoring talent available there. Lissy Casey, as we know, you know, are capable of kicking up good scores, but the problem is they're also capable of, you know, letting in quite a few as well at the other end. Innis Diomhan did, you know, I went about their business the last year with, I'd say, with a minimum of fuss. By all accounts, you know, they were fairly comprehensive victors over Kildysert. They're motoring away nicely. Probably don't know their best 15 yet. It's only as the championship develops that they'll get, you know, get on a settled team. And I think, you know, they're certainly capable of getting a result here, but I'd expect them to do so. Lissy Casey have their backs to the wall now. That defeat the last day out, you know, will have hurt, and the last number of years they've been county semi-finalists, so they won't want to be going out of the championship. This is a big game for Lissy Casey. There's going to be a response in them, but for me, Innis Diomhan, you know, maybe hold the odds here on, just in terms of experience and maybe the strength of a panel as well, which the impact off the bench on this one will be crucial for Innis Diomhan. They have been doing it, they have been managing it very well, and I think it could hold the key to a victory this weekend.
Yeah, not sure what the fitness situation is with the likes of Killeen and Brindy and those lads, but Sean Rinn and David Fitzgerald both making major impacts off the bench the last night, and it kind of seemed ominous for other teams as well that Innis Diomhan were still saying that they can be sound and solid defensively, but suddenly up front now kicking up 2-10 or thereabouts the last night, that they're well capable now of opening up the shoulders a little bit.
Yeah, well, that was the key, I suppose, you know, just marrying that we knew they were solid defensively, but, you know, last year, particularly in the county final, it was very obvious, you know, that they were just lacking that little bit up front in terms of a cohesiveness amongst the players they had. And, you know, we know that there's plenty of footballers there, plenty of good young footballers, and they're capable of kicking big scores. So 2-10 isn't a surprise to anybody. In terms of Lissy Casey, Shane Griffin is probably, you know, they're still their go-to man in terms of goals. We know Conor Finucane will be around as well, and in that they've kicked up a lot of scores over Lissy Casey the last couple of years. But it's getting, you know, a wider remit in terms of their scoring options Lissy Casey will need. Horst will have them in, Maloney will have them in good order. They'll be very sound defensively as well. So it should be, you know, a fair good battle. But as I say, I think Innis Diomhan are carrying the better form into the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the situation with Aaron Griffin is. I think the Boston finals were on at the weekend, so maybe his flight home might be time to be back for this game. He'd be a major throw into their attack if he was, but they'll need every bit of it, as you said. And I suppose a similar then for the final game of the weekend that we'll touch on, Kildysert and Cratlow. Again, Emmett McMahon kicking ball in Boston for the summer. That final again was on at the weekend, so whether he's back in situ or not, we're not quite sure. But they will need him now against the Cratlow team that'll fairly have the tails up after their first round.
Yes, it's very much against, the old boys versus the new kids on the block this time round. Cracklow have done it all, and now just to go back a long time since, they won a championship, but there's plenty of experience there. It blended in, it has to be said as well, a couple of nice new young footballers. So Kildare would have it all to do, and they'll be, a 7-point defeat in Clairsino football is a fairly big defeat, because more often than not the games are tight enough. So they have it all to do this time round, taking on a Cracklow side. Cracklow won't shoot the lights out, but they're capable of kicking that 113, 114, which should be enough this weekend, particularly as you say, if Kildare are without the likes of Emmett.
Yeah, and like from a lot of the talk again around Cracklow will always be that thing of, sure, look at these are the same players that are on the road since they make the breakthrough with that first title in 13, which it's hard to believe is 10 years ago now at this stage. But yet still there they are, being the leaders, saw it in the hurling at the weekend, the same way, it was the same old faces, McGrath, Podge, Sean, Cahill Mack, Dermot Ryan, all these fellas are still there. So they've obviously had it down to a fine art.
Well, they have, yeah. But in fairness, to Cullum and the lads down there, Tommy Rooney has added a bit to them. Jack McInerney, Rian Constant, these are new names. Rian McNamara, that have come in, that have no senior championship medal. Mike Brennan, there's plenty of lads up that are. Have added, greatly to the Cracklow cause. And in terms of Kildysert, they have. We know that they're used to winning in the Kildysert jersey, which is huge. But how much of a setback that defeat in Sligo will have, impacted on them, only this weekend will tell. But there's plenty of good footballers down there, and Keith O'Connor still going well for them, and Dermot O'Donnell, as we know about Seamus Casey, they're all good. Plenty of good footballers, Conor Hassett, lads with, they've worn the county jersey. So there's plenty of football there, but they'll certainly have to bring more to the table than they did 2 weeks ago.
Now, delighted to be joined by Gareth O'Hanlon to have a chat on women's rugby and indeed the further efforts to promote it here in the county, the Give It A Try campaign underway at the moment. Gareth, thanks for taking the call. Give It A Try, you've been had the first week of it, I think, this week. As we speak now, it's Friday, so there's another evening of it coming. What's the response been like from the outset?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Derek. Yeah, we started last Wednesday in Liston-Varna, probably a new territory for rugby, but we were up there. And the response has been excellent so far. We've so many people reaching out to us on social media and getting in contact with us about, just want to know more about what's going on. And we started in Liston-Varna, as I said, and we were a great turnout for that. And tonight, Friday, we're back west in Kilrush, which will be a big stronghold for rugby at the moment in Clare.
So that positive, I suppose, momentum from last year seems to have carried over then.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that we're into our second season with an adult team. This time last year, we were only kind of getting things off the ground. And we had a huge successful season in getting, fielding a team every week, I suppose, was our main goal. But as the season progressed, the kind of goals shifted, and we were kind of looking at trying to win some silverware. And luckily enough, we won the Division 2 and we won the Munster Cup against Thurles in our last match of the season. Thurles are probably one of the standout teams in women's rugby in Munster, and we overturned them in a brilliant match in UL. So on the back of that, we've got great publicity, we've got great interest, and we decided to kind of create a roadshow and bring our women's rugby team around Clare to try promote it and give girls an opportunity to come out and give rugby a try.
Yeah, and I guess that's great credit to the people that came up with this idea, because it would have been easy to sit back and say, let them come to us. But going out and trotting the county the way you do, I mean, nobody can say that they didn't have the opportunity to give it a shot anyway.
And that's the philosophy behind it. We just wanted to... Look, we have a strong squad at the moment, but we wanted to kind of push on and, we wanted to get girls out playing rugby. And the only way to do that is we've kind of ticked all the boxes and getting through, the different regions of Clare, but we just wanted to make it more local and just give girls an opportunity who maybe were on the fence or, who wanted to pick up a new sport or, so we said, let's just bring our team around Clare and give these girls an opportunity to come on, give it a try. Last year we have 5 girls on our starting team in that final against Thurles, who had never played rugby before. They came out and gave it a try, And they had a fantastic season. Those five Gaherns are back training with us this year as well. So I think women's sport in general in Clare was really taken off, and we kind of wanted to row in behind that and maybe benefit from getting a couple of girls from different sports. Like, you know, you look at the Clare Camogie and the Clare football team and how hugely successful their season was. So with that season coming to an end, maybe we're trying to encourage some of the other girls from different sports to come out and give rugby a go, that our season now is kicking off in September.
Yeah, we'll talk about more of the newbies in just a second, but just as you were speaking there about the ones from last year, it kind of struck me that, like, for such a new project, retention is as much of a success as new applicants maybe, because I was kind of, you know, it was surprised listening to Wayne Freeman talking after the ladies football game last week, and he was kind of saying, you know, there's often such a high turnover in women's sport, and he was bang on. I'd never really thought about it in that context. So for you to be saying that there was five players last year who never played the sport and that they're all back this year again, like, that speaks volumes for the work that was being done.
Yeah, and look, we have huge retention. We haven't lost one player from last season. We have a couple of girls coming up from our very, very successful underage in Clare and Ennis and Kilrush, mainly those two clubs. But we have all those, we've got six or seven girls from the 18s coming up, and we've already recruited a couple of new girls, and tonight's only our second night on the pitch. And I think the reason behind why we're kind of so successful is that we try to make things as fun and as enjoyable as possible. And also tapping into that social aspect of it as well. Like, we've loads of different activities off the pitch, you know, so the girls have great fun on the pitch. Obviously, they're getting fit, their skill set is improving. But we're also conscious that, you know, we want to make this very sociable as well. So the meet up after matches, we have trips away, we have tours coming up. So, you know, sport is very important, but we also wanted to bring the group along with us and make sure that they're having fun off the pitch as well. We found that very important.
Yeah, and that's probably even more in the context of, I'd imagine a lot of players would come maybe a little bit, I won't say frightened, but maybe a little bit of trepidation about a sport like rugby, where you'd be reared with, you know, ladies football and camogie and stuff like that. It might come a little bit more naturally. But do you find that rugby can be a game that often might take a little bit more coaxing into, that there's a little bit more to it?
Yeah, and surprisingly, the girls that have never played before that are coming back this year, the transition, a lot of them played football and camogie, and they found the transition very much was kind of smooth, I suppose, the only way to put it. That they probably, before they were getting on the pitch, they were thinking that it was going to be a bit more difficult, the skill set was more difficult, but the thing with rugby, there's a position for everyone, and it's very easy to pick up as well. So, you know, if I give a good example of Emer Considine. I remember she came to one of her underage give it a try sessions, and she was telling the girls, I think she was 24 or 26 before she ever picked up a rugby ball. And now look at the career and look at the path that she has been on, playing for Munster in Ireland. I think she was a big football player before that.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was in the, I think she was in that team in 09 that won the ladies football title with Clare, and then went off. I think her story at that time actually was that she got a message on LinkedIn from somebody asking her to go and give the sevens a shot, and it took off from there. So, but like, even just on that, like, the fact that there's now that pathway, I know we've touched on that before, and even this weekend we see all the Clare girls involved in the Interpro series game on Saturday afternoon. Like, to have an end goal to work towards makes a sport more attractive, doesn't it?
Yeah, and rugby is now professional at the moment in Ireland, which is, you know, which is richly deserved for the girls. But there is a clear pathway now. You look at the girls that have come up through the Ennis ranks, Aoife Corey, Alana McInerney, Chisholm was another girl, Adele, just like the list goes on of the girls from Clare. But the pathway is kind of mapped out for them, that they've played club rugby, they've been selected to play for Munster. And I'm sure you'll see a lot more of those girls playing for Ireland as well. But we get the balance right in our own team here in Clare and Enniskillrush, that, you know, we are producing these top class players. We have two girls from the back of last season who have been selected in the Munster training squad in Avon Hennessy and Gráinne Burke. Gráinne Burke also played for the Ireland 18s just a couple of months ago. So we are producing these top class rugby players, but we also are catering for the girls who just want to come out, join a team, and again, that fun and social aspect of it as well. So getting the balance for us as a club and as a coaching team is that we want to produce these top class rugby players, but we're also catering for the girls who just want to come out and play club rugby as well. So it's we're having great fun at the moment with this.
Yeah, you have another couple of busy days ahead of you, as you said, Kilrush tonight. It's Scariff on Wednesday the 23rd from 7 to 8:30. Friday then down in St. Sennans and Shannon, Friday the 25th, that's 7 to 8:30. And the following Wednesday night then in Lees Road, 7 to 8:30 again, that's Wednesday the 30th of August. So like you've hit every corner of the county there, so you're hoping it'll continue gathering momentum anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is you hit the nail on the head. We have a big squad, but we just wanted to give this opportunity for girls to come out and just give it a go, get involved in the training session. We have a great team of girls, a great squad of girls who are very open, that they will kind of... I remember being in Liston Varner last Wednesday. There was a couple of new girls there, but the girls that were kind of came up with rugby backgrounds, they were kind of coaching the other girls as we went along. So we're very much an open team that, you know, if you're on the fence, you haven't played any sport before, if you've played football, if you've played soccer, camogie, and you're looking for something new, we would really love to get those girls just to come out, and I'm sure they'll get hooked. The girls that have come out and give it a try, we've held on to them, so they find it very enjoyable. I mean, part of a new up-and-coming team is great, you know, so... yeah, we're looking forward to the season ahead.
Now, soccer is the focus for the next while here, as the new Clare season gets underway this weekend with the League Cups across the divisions. Delighted to say Dean Russell with us to have a little look ahead to that. Dean, I suppose firstly, great to have it back. I don't know, has it been a while since the soccer season was here? It doesn't seem all that long ago, but the breakdown anyway and teams back in action.
Yeah, look, for me personally, it feels like it's only been a week or two. And we're back into it already. But no, look, it's great to have it back. And look, we had great success in the county last year in the market. So hopefully be another great year of Clare soccer to come.
Yeah, and I guess like while it might seem earlier, whatever, like, and it's always said in a GA context as well, it's better to have maybe arranged games for clubs rather than travelling the length and breadth of the country trying to find challenge games and stuff like that. So they can use this as their kind of tuning up period a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And like what we've done with the League Cups this year is we've kept it as regional as we can for teams, especially midweek, you know, and holidays and stuff this time of year. So look, we're just trying to work with every club we can and just get it up and running.
Yeah, we're speaking here on Friday afternoon, so the games will be getting underway tonight. A few of them across the first and second division games. Just on those, is there anything that stands out for you on the very first night of it?
Yeah, I think the one in the Fair Green, between Fair Green and Hermitage, you know, it'll be the Ennis Derby. I know they played each other a few weeks ago in a tournament up in North Clare, and there was no love lost between the two of them, so you'd expect a typical local derby in Ennis. So I think that'll be the standout fixture for tonight for sure.
Yeah, and I guess this is the time of year when people actually find out who has transferred where, because you'll hear all the rumours and there'll be local gossip about it, no doubt, but when the team sheet goes in, there's no hiding from it.
Yeah, exactly. All will be revealed now over the weekend. Probably a few shocked faces here and there, but look, that's the beauty of it, I suppose.
Yeah, out in Kilmaley then as well, you have Connolly Celtic and Ferns Celtic, that's in the second division, Group A. So a few more of them, we'll stick those up on the website. But let's move maybe, Dean, to Saturday. And a fixture, I think, that has the potential to be a really, really competitive one in the Premier Division League. That's the Group A meeting of Avenue and Kilrush Rangers. That's in Rosslevin at 6:30.
Yeah, look, and to be honest, this is one I'll probably try to get out to myself. From what I'm hearing from the Avenue camp is there's been good business done, I suppose, through the transfer window. And the big name back for them is Steve McGann. You know, what a player to bring back into the fold. And I think they kept one or two players that they thought might have gone out to Limerick, which was hugely important. But knowing Davy Russell, I think this year he's going to make sure that Avenue will be the talk of Clare soccer, you know, instead of their rivals Newmarket. And personally, I do think they will. I think they've done good business. Joe, they seem to have a good pre-season, so I expect them to have a good year ahead.
Yeah, while Newmarket obviously were the historic run of last year, and we won't ever forget those scenes on that particular evening down in Limerick for quite some time. But it's worth noting as well, Avenue were fierce unlucky. Like, penalty shootouts are that total lottery. They'll feel themselves that they're maybe just missing that one or two players that they might have got now in order to get through that campaign. So, as you say, Russ has a positive year to maybe look back on, but also plenty yardstick now to hit a slap in the boys as well, right throughout the season.
Yeah, like, to be honest, I was at Avenue's game against Colgate last year, and they should have won at normal time. The game should never have gone to a penalty shootout. It's just one of those things, I suppose, a tight affair, and they just missed their chances. They came back to haunt them in the day. But look, sometimes when your rivals are the talk of the town, all it does is spur you on to make sure you're the talk of the town the following year, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're going to have a right tit for tat, and even with all the rivalry and all that was going on, I thought that night out in the county grounds, it was a lovely touch from Juan Hayes to recognise how good Avenue were and how much of a challenge they presented to them. So, like, there's a mutual respect as well as that rivalry there, isn't there?
Ah, there is. Look, I mean, those lads are playing football sometimes together, rather be Oscar Traynor or against each other, and there is a huge respect between the two clubs, and look, as I say, it'll definitely be an exciting season ahead. Will it be Newmarket? Will it be Avenue? Or, look, teams not mentioned Shannon Town. Donal McGee is back with Shannon Town. The last time he was there, they won a Premier. So it should be an intriguing title race. And we're hoping, over the last few years, it probably has been a two-horse race between Avenue and Newmarket. And I think everyone in Clare Soccer would love if Shannon Town, the Bridge, Lifford, who had a good year last year, if they could start pushing the top two and just make it that bit more intriguing.
Yeah, squeeze it all up. As you mentioned, Shannon Town, they were due to play Newmarket Celtic this weekend, but Shannon Town games off, we understand, due to a bereavement within the club circle.
Yeah, so those games will probably be postponed until maybe Wednesday week, it's looking like at the moment, yeah. Okay. So those three games, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, will all be off involved in Shannon Town.
Yeah, there's a couple of midweek games there next week as well, so we'll talk about them maybe closer to the time. But you talk at derbies, I'm just looking down to the fixtures here, Dean. On Sunday at 2 o'clock in the Hinge, Sporting Innes Diamond versus Mohair Celtic. Just a wedge between these two in terms of where they're located. Obviously, the Hinge, a neutral enough kind of a battleground, so it should be a good game under Michael Rock's watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there again, two sides that a lot of them are probably neighbours up there, they're that close, so you'd expect that one to be, again, going down to the third division. One that I'm excited to see is Callan United. You know, it'll be their first game into the Clare League. To have a team representing West Clare, because as you know more than me, West Clare is a big area, and they definitely have a soccer team. We've had West Clare FC up there in the past, St. Pat's, which isn't too far away, but it is great to see Callan United coming in, and on behalf of the Clare League, their first season, we wish them all the best going forward.
Yeah, I know. I read an interview with Shane Kavanagh there, who's kind of the driving force behind it in the Champion a couple of weeks ago. And even the naming of the club, Callan United, even though it's based around the kind of Kilmurry and Milton area, he wants to keep it somewhat neutral to coax lads in. So that's a clever move, I think, from the outset. A couple of games as well, midweek next week as well. So great to have it back, as we said. And all the fixtures available on the CDSL website as well, Dean. We'll keep touching in right throughout the season. But it kicks off from here, and from a fixtures making point of view, there'll be no let up anyway.
That's for sure, absolutely.
Great stuff, Dean. Thanks for that.
Cheers. Thanks a million.